Ready to lose 40 plus pounds without giving up happy hours, weekend brunches, or date nights? Then it's time to uncover the hidden link between binge eating and toxic relationships and finally break free from both. Welcome to the Hungry for Love podcast with Jillian Scott. Y'all ready? Let's go. Hey, hey, welcome back. All right, so I was looking through past episodes that I had done, and I realized I have not done an episode just on willpower. And I know that it gets woven into a lot of episodes, and I feel like I talk about it frequently. But when I went back to look, I don't think I have an actual episode on that. If I didn't take notes on it and it was just an off the cuff and it's buried somewhere, there may be an episode in there recently or maybe further back in the archives. But we're going to talk about why you don't need more willpower to lose weight today. Because I think this is often a common struggle, and it's a common theme that I saw as I was trying to lose weight. And then as I thought about breaking my binge eating and emotional eating habit, I also kept thinking, I just need more willpower. I just need more willpower to say no to food in the moment. And that's what I was going for. And then I was like, okay, how do I make it easier on myself to say no without needing to white knuckle and grip? And as I was thinking about that urge and that desire to binge last week and being able to very calmly, easily, lovingly say, no, I'm not going to, it really made me see and recognize how far I've come in not needing to engage willpower, which I think everybody has a little bit different take on it. But we're just going to dive in and really look at why it is actually not helpful. We are trapped in binge eating and emotional eating cycles. We keep thinking, I just need to say no to the food. I need to stick with my diet. So I need the willpower. So number one, we think we need willpower when really we're trying to solve the wrong problem. And then we're using outdated methods and we have outdated beliefs to solve that wrong problem. So it's twofold. It's like we keep trying to solve the wrong thing. So it's I keep needing to stick with my diet. I need to find the right diet. I need this willpower. And so we're trying to solve the wrong problem versus I need to better understand my binge eating and emotional eating cycle, and then I can work on solving it. But even just trying to break that binge eating or overeating pattern, I notice there even sometimes we get hung up thinking, I just need more willpower. And so this is what I've found is often plaguing us. And so I share a lot of my story with food and body image and binging in episodes 115. And I think the second part was 116, but that was the after. So binge-free 5 years, the before, from December 5th of 2024. That was episode 115. And that one, I dove more into the binging and wrestling with willpower and what that really looked like in my life. So if you missed that one, go back and listen to that because I give you a lot more details and examples of what the binging looked like in my life. And what I realized is that over the 12 to 13 years, I had phases of heavy binge eating and then lighter overeating. And this was all throughout my 20s. It was like late teens throughout my 20s and into my like very early 30s. And one of the heavy periods of binge eating was in 2016. And so I was married at the time, 30 years old. My now ex was deployed. And so I lived in Virginia with housemates for the first part of the year. And this phase of my binge eating stemmed from undereating and severe restriction that I was trying to do with my diet. So I was trying to cut calories, cut carbs, cut fat, and it was this really hodgepodge Frankenstein diet. I could run 5 miles in the morning. I could skip breakfast, but by 11 a.m., certainly by noon, I was ravenous. And sometimes also noticed is in the morning, I would be hungry at maybe 10 or 10:30. But I would drink a protein shake, and then that would make me even more hungry. And I'd be like, what the hell? I'm trying to put off eating, or I would snack on cucumbers or carrots or something that was like low calorie or a quote free points food. It was just this mismatch of trying to undereat, trying to eat as little as humanly possible. And I'd end up really hungry. And so often in the morning, I would snack instead of having an actual meal. And I would probably consume more in the snacking and trying to curb my hunger than if I just ate some real food. But I was just so much in kind of this brainwashed era. And I would undereat in the morning. I'd overexercise. Then I would overeat at lunch. I would snack throughout the afternoon, typically on sweets and nuts, even though I wasn't hungry. And then I would often binge on snack food at night instead of eating a proper meal. Some nights I would eat dinner. Some nights dinner was like half a head of lettuce and some rotisserie chicken. It was very low carb, very minimal. And then I might binge after that. Sometimes I wasn't super hungry because I was eating all throughout the day, like all throughout the afternoon. And then at night, I might get a little hungry. But I also was like, I didn't want to cook. I didn't want to eat certain foods. And so I just would end up snacking a lot. I noticed that my body would feel full, especially at lunch. It's like it's full of food. But because I was trying to not eat any carbs and run 5+ miles a day, it was like I would run 4 or 5 miles and then walk maybe 1 to 3 miles. I spent a lot of time at the gym in the morning. So my body wasn't satisfied. I'm full. Physically, it has food in my stomach, but I'm not satisfied because I'm not eating the right proportion of foods because I'm terrified of carbs. And I wasn't solving that root issue. I wasn't solving my fear around carbs because I had a story of I can't lose weight and eat carbs. I'd eat nuts to try to fill the void when really I needed bread, I needed rice, I needed something else. So then I would feel really heavy, really full, and then I would still want something sweet. And I got so hung up on, I just need to stick to my diet. I just need to try harder. I just need more willpower is what this theme really was. In order to stick to my diet, I needed more willpower. And then this attracted me to work with a particular coach in the spring of 2016. And one of her promises was that you don't need willpower. But I did. When I did her program, I did need willpower. And that was a struggle. And it was something that I wanted to tell her. And yet at the same time, I didn't because I thought the problem was me. And so there were a couple of issues as to why I needed willpower. Number one, because I was deathly afraid of carbs and trying to eat no carbs at all. And I would still eat some, but it was like I was trying to eat nothing. And then she told me to eat 6 servings. And in my brain, I'm like, what? I can't eat 6 servings of carbs. You've lost your mind, lady. And I did not feel safe. I did not feel comfortable. And I should have voiced this, but I kept thinking, no, I can do this. Or in my mind, I was like, you're crazy, but we'll try. We had 1 or 2 meal plans of, okay, here's roughly some different things that I could eat. But it wasn't realistic for what I could make or what I could take with me to work. So it was a little hard to follow that plan, but I also don't think I had any intention of eating 6 servings of carbs. So I would eat some carbs, for example, one day, and then the next day I would weigh in and the scale would be up, not because of the carbs, but just for some other reason. And I'd be like, ah, look, see, I can't eat carbs and lose weight. My brain was so focused on finding and looking for that evidence, even if it was so short term, that I was like, nope, can't do it. And I likely was eating carbs and probably binging. I don't remember the exact day, but I remember like getting on the scale and confirming, see, I can't lose weight and eat carbs. And I didn't take this to her. I didn't take it to the group. I thought I was the oddball out. So I was like, I just have to try harder. I have to follow her plan, but still not eat carbs. And hindsight is 2020. I can look back and see a lot of things now. But part of the problem was my psychology and this component about needing to be deconditioned from the diet brainwashing. And I didn't realize how strong a hold that was in my life. See it very clearly now, but at the time, it just seemed like logic. It just seemed like, no, this is just the way that it is. And so for me, for somebody who did need an extensive amount of deprogramming, because I was so brainwashed, that program didn't work well for me. And that was really hard because I couldn't stick to the plan. And I had the best of intentions. It was like, we're going to cut out all processed foods, no protein bars, no treats, no snacks. And then you're just going to eat these meals and then maybe 2 squares of dark chocolate. And in the moment, it's like, I wanted to please her. And I was like, yeah, I could do that. Yeah, sure. Okay. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I really don't want to give up my protein bars. I really don't want to give up my popcorn. And if you think I'm giving up my mochas in the morning, bitch, you crazy. But I didn't tell her this. And so I think because she was giving me a plan, this leads to number two, if I didn't create my plan, she created it and gave it to me. And then I did my best to stick with it. And that is why I don't tell clients what to eat. What I will do with people is I will help them create a plan and we will do it together. And we'll talk about what do you actually like? What do you enjoy eating? Now let's add in some vegetables. Now let's make sure there's a good source of protein. Let's look and make sure that this is balanced. Let's look at the day and then the week as a whole and know that there can be some trade-offs. And one meal one day is not going to ruin it for you. It's very much a collaborative effort. But that's why I don't tell you these are the foods that you can and can't eat. This is what you have to do. I'm not going to try to make you math it out and count points and macros and all of that. And quite frankly, I don't want to. So I decided how I wanted to lose the weight and be able to keep it off and work on my relationship with food as a whole. I really had some deeper work to do and really built the trust around food and my ability to lose weight and keep it off and still eat the foods that I liked and the foods that I enjoy. Because so often, that's what we feel like we have to give up. I'm not supposed to eat fast food if I'm trying to lose weight. I'm not supposed to eat pizza. I'm not supposed to go out to Olive Garden. I'm not supposed to do these things. I'm not supposed to drink this or eat that. I noticed I needed a lot of willpower. And I didn't feel comfortable sharing that because I also felt like in my mind, it was like, she made these calculations and this is right. This is what I'm supposed to do. And she didn't need willpower when she did this to lose the weight. So I shouldn't need willpower either. It was this weird tug of war. And I eventually just stopped weighing in, stopped tracking, stopped checking in. I just fell off. I stopped showing up. There was a part of me that wished she would have reached out. I know her assistant reached out to get my weight week to week. And I was kind of like, I don't want to weigh. This just makes me feel terrible about myself. And I was disappointed that she didn't reach out to me. But I also didn't initiate and reach out to her. It is a two-way street. And looking back, there are a lot of things that I would have done differently. But this is all part of the journey. It's all part of the path. And while I can look back and feel like, okay, here's what I would have done differently. It's like, all right, now can I learn from this and implement this in other areas of my life where I may not be needing that for weight loss or food, but where's another area of life where I need to reach out and ask for help or get the support that I need or be willing to say, hey, this isn't working for me. I need to try something else or just have better self-awareness, right, of what's actually happening, what's going on. And so even on this program, where I wasn't supposed to need willpower, I kept coming back to the same problem of I just need to stick with my diet. I need more willpower. And I knew that the diet was too restrictive. I knew that I didn't even want to do it. Y'all, I could not do this for a single day. Not one day. This was a 4-month program. And I did it for at least the first 2 months. At some point, I fell off somewhere in that third month. But I couldn't maintain this plan for a single day because it was taking me from all of my normal habits into this extreme jump into more of a Whole 30 type of plan. First thing was the coffee. And I was kind of like, hell no, you will pull this mocha out of my cold, dead hand. Like, absolutely not. And again, it's we cannot force ourselves to make these changes and to make these big sweeping changes. We have to do things little by little. Otherwise, our brain freaks out. And it flips the diet trauma switch, which I'll get to in just a sec. It was really frustrating because in the past, I felt like I had willpower. I could have done it. It did feel easy. It felt like I should have that same level of willpower all the time. And I couldn't ever understand why that seemed to work sometimes and why it didn't. Since I didn't stick to my diet, now I needed to compensate and make up for it with more restriction the next day and then more running and more exercise. So I needed to undereat and overexercise even more. And I kept trying to outrun my nutrition, to out-exercise what I was eating, to outrun my binge eating. And ultimately, I was trying to outrun my low self-esteem. That's really what was going on here. I was trying to undereat my way out of my low self-esteem and my low self-image and self-concept. That was the real problem. But it was masked under, I just need to lose weight. I just need more willpower. But I kept solving the wrong problem. So this need of like, well, I need more willpower or I just need to stick with my diet. That was the wrong problem. What I needed to solve was my emotional eating and binge eating habit. And I needed to really heal my relationship with food because I was at war with it. I kept trying to solve the wrong thing and then using this outdated method of just eat less and exercise more to do it. So let's talk about willpower more specifically, because I think we all have examples in our own life of where we maybe have felt like we had willpower and it was easy to say no. And sometimes that's the first, maybe even the second time that you did a diet, and then the third, the fourth, every time we go back, it gets harder and harder to muster up that willpower again. So we all have examples of where we've had willpower and then examples where we feel like we haven't. Something's been lacking or missing, and this is where we can get really frustrated and it turns inward of like, there's something wrong with me. Especially if you see other people who can make a program work, whether it's Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig or Noom or keto or paleo or whatever it is, it's like whatever system it is, then we feel bad because it's like, well, they can make it work. They're losing weight or there's always success stories. So you're comparing yourself to somebody else and it's like, why can't I figure this out? Why can't I make it work? And then we're told things like, you just need to commit. You just need to decide. You just need to be more focused. You just need to have more self-control. It's not about self-control. That's not the problem. It's not about willpower. It's actually that we need more self-compassion. We need more understanding. We need a softer side. Let's dive into the willpower aspect a little bit more here. This is something that I often talk about in workshops, is talking about the different parts of our brain, right? We've got our thinking brain, and then we have our party brain. Your brain is like a mullet. Business in the front, party in the back. Your thinking brain, this is your prefrontal cortex, right where your forehead is. Okay, we've talked about this a little bit on episodes as well. This is the part of your brain that's responsible for language, logic, problem solving, analysis. This is also where your willpower is housed, okay? So put a pin in that. Now we want to move to the back of the brain. So the back of your skull, where your skull attaches to your spine right there, that is your habit brain or your party brain, right? It is not logical. It runs off of instinct and patterns. It's very primal and it's designed to keep you safe and alive. That is its core functionality. So it will seek pleasure and avoid pain via the path of least resistance. That's the focus. What feels good and pleasurable? What avoids pain, and the pain can be real or perceived. So sometimes it's the threat of pain, and it can be physical, mental, or emotional pain. Okay, in whatever way is quick, easy, rapid, reliable, effective, which is why food and sometimes alcohol become such easy coping mechanisms. Okay, because it's not just the physical pain, it's the emotional pain of feeling rejected, the emotional pain of feeling embarrassed, the emotional pain of having a fight with your spouse and them saying something hurtful to you. There's so much that's involved there that we learn how to avoid. And we learn to stuff it down often. And then we want to override the negative. We have to stuff the negative down and then override it with something positive, pleasurable, something that gives us a hit of dopamine. And often it becomes really easy to turn to food. Okay. So these two parts of your brain, right? So you got thinking brain in the front, party brain in the back. These parts of your brain speak different languages, like completely different languages. I'm talking English to Chinese, not Portuguese versus Spanish, right? It's not like a little dialect or something that's similar. No, completely different languages. And so in order to turn on your willpower in your thinking brain, you have to turn off the habit brain and what's driving your binge eating or emotional eating habit. So you have to turn off the party brain and then turn on the thinking brain in order to engage the willpower and engage this new part of your brain. But these are switches that are not easily flipped. If we think it should be as easy as flipping a light switch, and it's not, because it would be like trying to have even just a simple conversation with no hand gestures in English versus Chinese. Like, they could be talking about the weather. They could be talking about the stock market. They could be talking about where they live. They could be talking about their grandma. Like, we literally don't know. We don't know anything. Okay. And so it's very hard for us to do. It's really hard for us to engage the willpower. And it's especially hard for us to do when food is meeting an emotional need, not just in the moment. Like, in the moment, it's giving you that hit of dopamine, but it's also giving us meeting an emotional need at a very core primal level. So at that primal instinctual, this keeps me safe, this keeps me alive, this keeps me accepted, this keeps me a part of the tribe, a part of the community, This is how I'm loved. This is how I'm accepted. Like very core, very primal needs. That's what the food is meeting. This is why we can't just willpower our way into new habits. We have to understand why the habit is there. What is it teaching us? What is the message that needs to come out? Okay, and this is why we can end up. So we need to learn, number one, how to meet these emotional needs for ourselves. But this is why we can end up replacing one coping mechanism with another and not fully realizing it. It's why you might be a binge eating, but then you turn to drinking, and then you turn to a dating app, and then you turn to maybe spending and shopping. And it's like we're constantly overdoing it. We're constantly seeking that hit of dopamine. And we keep turning from one mechanism to the next. And so when I work with clients, especially clients who are post-divorce and maybe in the dating scene, but used to getting emotional needs met with a partner, and they are also binge eaters, emotional eaters, and used to getting needs met with food, this is why it's hard to do both at the same time, because it's like we're taking away all the coping mechanisms. And unless you replace it with learning how to meet those needs, it's going to feel hard. And so this is why I recommend, and I'll tell people, like, here's what I see going on. Here's where we want to get to. But you may want to focus on one and then the other. So maybe you keep dating, you keep working on your relationship with food, not turning to food to meet emotional needs, and recognize, okay, I'm just going to be a little more aware of when I'm doing it with a person, with a partner, and then working on the partner. And if you want to do both together at the same time, you totally can. It is 100% possible, but just know there's going to be some urges. There's going to be some desires. There's going to be some cravings and some things coming up. Just know that you're going to need some bandwidth to be able to identify what's happening, what those desires are, and learning how to meet them. It's like we have to be really willing to face any negative emotions and truly allow ourselves to feel them. And this becomes the work. This is always the work, as how can I meet my own needs instead of looking to someone or something else to meet it? Which, as a recovering codependent, is something that I am still learning at deeper and deeper levels of, okay, where do I keep looking for this outside of myself? How can I bring that back in and insource that? What does that mean? What does that look like on a regular basis? And how do I not just take the action and do the thing, but actually believe it and feel it and have the emotions that go with it? So this is why willpower, like, it's got F all to do, got nothing to do with the willpower. This is so much deeper than the willpower. There's so much more at play here. And when you've been in a toxic relationship with a person and you have a toxic relationship with food, there's potentially other toxic relationships happening. Often I would say money tends to be another big one. But if we just look at like these two of food and people, like those are really big. Like those are big things to be solving in and of themselves. And we're in this habit of learning to meet it elsewhere. And so it's rewiring your brain. And as we are rewiring, that's why I will recommend like start with one and then move to the other. And if you want to do both together, you can. But just recognize like we're going to be rewiring more. And the way that I think about it is it's like rewiring means instead of walking on the paved path, you now are going to take a machete through the jungle. And some days you might feel like you got a machete and other days you feel like you have a pocket knife. And you're like, all right, let's go. Let's do this. And you're going at it. But some days we're working with like just a little bitty knife and we're trying to pave this new path through a jungle, through a forest, through something that doesn't feel normal, natural, and routine. And this is why I recommend and I encourage people to get support. Find a coach, find a community, get help, get support in doing this. Because we don't know how to do this for ourselves. That's why we're in this challenge to begin with. We are so used to getting our needs met from other people and other things. We don't know how to do it, what that even looks like. And this is why I am so passionate about this, is because I've had other people, other coaches and people in my life who have been able to help me make these changes that create such a deep, profound impact in my life. Okay, so get support. If you have not registered and signed up for Hungry for Love Live, this is a great time to do it. Go register and get signed up, because this is what we're going to be doing, is really understanding and decoding your binge eating, emotional eating habit, how so that you can lose the weight for good, so that you don't need willpower, so that you don't need to keep stressing about what you're eating, and you can actually lose weight eating the food you love. You can feel in control around food instead of at the mercy of your cravings. Hey, get in there, because we're going to talk about the implementation of this, of what does this actually look like? How do we actually solve and deprogram our brainwashed brains when it comes to the diet industry? That's what we're going to be doing, is let's take this work deeper and look at it from a practical implementation standpoint. Okay, so get in there. If you're not in there yet, make sure you register. Link is in the description, but you want to join me in there, okay? Now, my other point here, when it comes to willpower, is that your thinking brain is also a muscle, okay? So you can flex it, you can use it, but it gets fatigued. And because this, your willpower is in the same part of your brain where you also do your thinking problem solving, if you've had a day where you're thinking more, problem solving more, maybe it's just a regular day at the office, that part of your brain is already fatigued. So we've heard about willpower for fatigue and how it's, oh, if we use it too much, then it gets fatigued and we don't have as much. But this happens even at the end of the day. We have willpower fatigue at the end of the day because we've been using that part of our brain for so much of the day. And this part of your brain is responsible for 5% of your brain power, because so much of it has been automated and habitualized with our party brain and our habit brain in the back. We think that we should have a 50-50 split. Like, we should be using our, it might even feel like we're using our thinking cognitive functions way more than 5%, but on average, it is about 5% of our day. So much of it has already been automated. And even this is why, like, those days when you feel like mentally drained, you might not have done a whole lot. You might have been sitting at a desk or in an office or on a plane, or you maybe weren't physically exhausted, but mentally you were exhausted. It's because you were really engaging that part of your brain. It's why you don't have willpower either, especially at the end of the night. The last aspect that I want to bring in here, which I mentioned earlier, is diet trauma. And there was the recent podcast about your trauma bond with food, but overcoming diet trauma is episode 55. So if you go way back into the archives, I think this was, probably somewhere in 2022, I talk about overcoming diet trauma. And it's annoying now that Apple Podcasts doesn't put the numbers on there. I'll figure out how to change and adjust that, or like what I can do about that to make it easier to find the episode you're looking for, which is why sometimes I'll try to put in dates when I have them to make it a little bit easier. But I talk about diet trauma because that's also why we need more willpower in order to not eat the food. And so when I talked about the trauma bond with food and talking about this cycle, it was like we keep trying to get back to this love bombing phase with food, where we can restrict and we can deprive and we can cut it out and we don't need the willpower and it feels easy to do that. And usually that happens the first time you do a diet, maybe the second time, but the more you go back, it's like the more willpower you need because of the emotional pull to food, because of the habit that you are simply trying to break, and then because of diet trauma, which I go into, and it has its own episode. It's much deeper than what we have time to discuss here. If it's been a minute since you've listened to that episode, or if you've missed that one altogether, make sure you go back and do that, because that is also where I talk about you've got to break the cycle. Like, we've got to break this cycle of trauma with food and with our bodies and with weight loss. We have to deprogram our brains, and we have to understand that it is no longer a matter of information of just eat this, not that, or exercise more and eat less. That's a recipe for disaster. We really have to recognize the traumatized relationship that we have with food, especially because for most of us, we want to lose weight, but it's from a place of punishment. It's like, I'm too fat, I'm too big, I've been bad, I'm a problem, something is wrong with me and my body. And so weight loss becomes punishment. Exercise becomes punishment to make up for what you ate the day before. restricting food becomes punishment to make up for the binge the day before. And it's learning how to let go of the restriction from the very beginning, which feels hard because it's those diet rules that often help us feel safe and secure. And this is going to work. This is what we're going to be diving into more in the Hungry for Love Live free coaching experience and talking about the different binging archetypes and how they are very interlinked. But there are three separate reasons as to why we will start binging. And then typically, we are going to continue binging for emotional reasons. Usually, that's what's going on. But there's a variety of ways in which these are interlinked. And there's three main reasons why you start binge eating. And it's helpful to understand the three so that we can solve them properly. We have to understand the real problem so that we can find the real solution. We keep thinking food is the problem with weight loss. We keep thinking food is the problem with binging or emotional eating. And it's like, no, I actually have to solve this other aspect over here. So food's not the problem, which means food can't be the solution. If I keep making food the issue, food's the problem, well, then food has to be the solution. Now we have this really dysfunctional codependent relationship with food, and we want to change that. And I want to help you really identify where you have ownership, where you have control, so that you can own it and do something about it. Because at the end of the day, food just sits there. It doesn't fly into your mouth. It doesn't call your name. It literally just sits there. It's all of our thoughts, all of our brainwashing, all of our beliefs, all of the things that feel so true. And this is what we have to work on. And giving yourself the grace and space and permission to work on it at your own pace, because so often the diet trauma often stems from trying to do too much too fast. That's how I think of love bombing, is it's like really big, intense emotions very quickly. So that's kind of how I see it here. And that's often how we try to do diets. We do too much too fast. We traumatize ourselves with these diets. And there's intermittent rewards. So sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Feels like this game of roulette where we're like, oh, we get close, but we aren't able to sustain the results. And that's what I want to help you break. This was a little bit longer than I was expecting. I feel like that always tends to happen, but I wanted to do this deeper dive into willpower specifically because this is such an important piece in understanding how to get to a place where you don't need willpower. You have to understand the deeper psychological components and relationship that you have with food, your body, with weight loss, with your specific journey. There's so many more aspects. And once we solve that, once you really understand, decode, and solve your binge eating and emotional eating habit, you don't need the willpower. But we can't just give ourselves a new diet and expect to not need willpower. We're going about it in the wrong way. The way that we try to not need willpower doesn't work. Make sure you join me for Hungry for Love Live for this free coaching experience where we are going to dive deeper into understanding binge eating and emotional eating, the archetypes and why it gets started, what starts this pattern, what triggers it, so that you can truly solve it. You can understand it and solve it from the inside out. This is going to make weight loss so much easier. You're going to actually feel peace and ease and fun and joy no matter how long it takes you to lose the weight, whether it takes you 6 months or a year or 2 years. You love your life and you're living a life that you love as you're losing the weight, and you're doing it in a sustainable way where the weight actually stays off. And now we're solving the right problem. Make sure you join me for that. It's going to be amazing. We start March 31st. It's going to be an evening series. We go 3 days of teaching and coaching. And then day 4 on Thursday is going to be a bonus day of just coaching, questions, implementation from anything that we've covered in the week. So you do not want to miss this. All right, y'all. Have a fantastic week. Here's to creating the life and body and relationships you crave.
If this episode resonated with you, it's time to break free from destructive cycles around food, alcohol, and toxic relationships. Your next step? Book your free Break the Cycle call, where you'll finally see why your binge eating and relationship patterns are so deeply connected and how to break free from both for good. You'll walk away with fierce clarity and a game plan to step into a life full of fun, adventure, and self-love. Grab your spot now at www.bodyyoucrave.com/BTC. It's time to break the cycle. I'll show you how.